reality.
Back to reality.
It's the show where we discuss the most topical of topics, the most controversial of controversies, and the most important affairs of affairs.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum, dear listeners, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome back to IRIB English Radio. Thank you very much for joining us in a new episode of the House of Truth, Back to Reality. Well, I am Asma, at your service as the host, and here with me I have two very dear guests, Brother Habib and Brother Yasser, both of whom I welcome.
A'udhu billahi min ash-shaytan ar-rajim. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Brother Habib at your service. Alhamdulillah wa shukur. Moved to Qom to study in the Islamic seminary. Yeah. Still studying, been studying for 12 years, I think, something around that.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Brother Yasser, I was born in the United Kingdom. I grew up in South Africa. I have a degree in sports science, and now I'm studying in the Holy Seminary of Qom again, also for the last 10 to 12 years.
So thank you for being here as well. Ever since the history of human being goes out, there is this issue of religion. And to have a united religion in all the world, it's a very difficult thing, of course. And to have the same understanding is actually going to be even more difficult. So there are different human beings with different culture, with different identity, with different sort of education. They're all going to look at religion, at the very same religion, but differently. So do you have any idea upon that?
There are many ways to look at this phenomena. You could look at it as whether Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will punish or not punish, reward, and whatever, depending on the religion. How society should deal with each other, with the diversity of the religions available in every society, how a single person looks at it, how we should try to change it or come together. There are various ways. So I think that the better question to put forward is, what are we looking at precisely? What do we want to talk about precisely?
So imagine it is this question, that we have the very same religion, but we do not have the same understanding. So we're going to be justified for all the wrong interpretations that we're going to do.
To some extent, yes. The concept of mustadhaf should not be forgotten and should always be in our minds, especially
even
dealing...
in nowadays, in modern
yes,
day,
yes.
When we have
especially
technology
nowadays.
And there is science,
especially
there's
nowadays.
A lot of knowledge out there.
Especially,
you can go and achieve it.
That's the thing, especially with lots of knowledge. There's this inflammation of knowledge out there that causes everyone to become confused. You know, if you look at it, you sit down under a pit bull of one lecturer and you hear something. Then you, on the same day, the same place, different lecturer, you hear something different. Sometimes even from the same lecturer, you hear something that's inconsistent from the person.
So just before we penetrate into what you're going to say, let's move to Brother Yasser. So what are your ideas? So am I going to be justified for all the wrong interpretations that I'm going to do out of the things that I do not have enough of knowledge about?
The question that you posed, sister, is a very valid question. It caused a lot of corruption, deviation, hereticism within the Christian faith. The concept of hermeneutics, the concept of how do we understand something that came up 1,000 years ago
exactly.
And is now in front of me. How do I interpret it by myself in the shoes of a particular scholar or a particular person who brought me this book? Now, when it comes to Islam, that is kind of creeping in, especially with the influx of Easterners who went to the West, who studied, saw these problems, especially when it came to philosophy of religion, and came back.
Yeah.
So they brought these questions with them. They saw the question that the Christianity could not answer. I said, does Islam have a question? Does Islam have an answer? And alhamdulillah, there's a lot of work being done on this, especially in hermeneutics. Traditionally, in usul al-fiqh, there is a certain thing, but it has not gone into that particular field right now, as it should have, in my opinion anyway. But there is this thing of, okay, that's on one side of the coin. But there's another side of the thing, like, okay, is religion so immutable that it is only allowed to be interpreted in one way?
Yeah.
Is there a possibility that religion or religious tenets have the ability to, according to some scholars, depending on time and place, depending on presuppositions, depending on objective or subjective views of the individual, whether that is able to be changed or not?
That's the perfect question. We'll keep it in here.
This is IRIB English Radio. You're listening to Back to Reality.
So welcome back. This is Back to Reality. Brother Yasser and Brother Habib are helping us with the answers. We are talking about religion and is it possible to interpret it in the very same way? Is it possible to just have the same understanding of the same religion? And I would like Brother Habib to answer the question that Brother Yasser put it right there.
Personally, my personal view on this is that yes, it is possible to have one interpretation that everyone agrees upon.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, what we see outside is that no, people differ in their understandings.
Yeah.
But it is possible with the right tools, with the right mythology going forward when reviewing the divine text, right?
Mm-hmm.
There are methods and ways that if we follow correctly, then the understanding will be one. I mean, like if the way that I'm talking to you right now, if I tell you a cup of tea,
yeah,
a cup of tea went cold. This sentence that I state to you should be clear that the cup of tea that I have in front of me went cold. It's something that brother Yasser is supposed to understand as well. So there's no difference in understanding this sentence that I sent forward. The same thing with the divine text. وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَا مِنْ رَسُولٍ إِلَّا بِلِسَانِ قَوْمِهِ. We have not sent a prophet or a messenger except in the same language that the people of his nation talk. This is a general rule that the alayhum as-salam, the Quran, speaks Arabic.
Yeah.
You have to understand the Arabic correctly, and then you understand the words of the alayhum as-salam.
So now in our condition, now we are living in Eastern society. Now what about the Westerners?
Who do not have this, you know, kind of...
Yeah, they do not know our language. They do not have understanding of Arabic
language. That's
the
work of the translators. That's the work of translators. It has been done even
during
the
time. And they would have the same understanding?
We would also have the same understanding. This happened even during the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alayhi, and there's a situation that I cannot quite remember correctly. But a better situation to put forward would be the story of the second Khalifa during his rule, where he went to Salman al-Farisi so he could be the translator and ambassador of Islam for the Iranians that entered the Islamic era and went under the rule of Islam, and the translations were available. And not only that, but even during the time of Al-Hikmah, Dar al-Hikmah in Baghdad, where the Abbasi Caliph, he brought in sciences from outside of the Islamic world and translated it from the Greek language to the Arabic language. And this has still been, and it's still being used, even because people don't translate it from Greek to English. They translate it from Greek to Arabic, from Arabic to English. So the philosophy that we have outside right now is actually from the translations of the Arabs from the Greek heritage.
Yeah.
So therefore, it is possible that we can agree upon a meaning.
One interpretation. Yeah. Now this question raised in here, ever since I was a child and just as I looked at our religion and then the outcome of it that I see everywhere in different parts of the world and different corners, I would ask this question. If what Brother Habib is saying is just right, then why all this much of dispute? Then why they do not have the same idea about, for example, different issues? Why they have different ideas? Why we do not have the same idea about the same thing?
There's many factors that can that happen. But one of the factors is this: what is my worldview?
Yeah.
For example, what is my worldview? For example, if I am a person whose worldview is divine, meaning that I believe in an almighty who I have to then oblige myself to, then understanding that the laws of religion are easy for me. I accept them,
because
even if I may not like them. However, a person who doesn't have that type of worldview, who has the alternate worldview, which is hakim, or whatchamacallit, superior in the world today, which is the humanistic worldview, that human nature, or not human nature, rather human, is the one who sets the laws. Whatever I feel is better for me, I will do. If I feel I am not comfortable with it, I will stand up against it. I do not need anybody else to tell me. I am an individual. I know what is best for me. The only thing that I should and should not do is harm somebody else. That is the limit of where...
This is the humanistic.
This is humanistic.
Point of view.
This is where the box is. What is the box? I can do anything I want as long as it doesn't harm physically somebody else.
Yeah.
So my worldview plays a part. This is one of the main kind of crux on this thing. That also then goes back, how do you form a worldview? Differences form there. How do you form a worldview? Forms when the knowledge you have, the understanding you have of the world around you. That then goes back to how you were brought up, your family, your school. Everything plays a part in that.
Your education, yes.
Everything plays a part in that particular worldview that you get. Doesn't mean that you're stuck in that worldview.
Yeah.
You can change. Similarly, if you want to put it inside the Islamic form, when it comes to interpretation of Islamic texts, certain Islamic scholars have a certain worldview. For example, some scholars are very textual related, some are more intellectual related, or more in terms of the aql, in terms of the naql. There's a whole discussion on this. Therefore, we see even within the Islamic seminary right now, there are differences of opinion. Not on things that are firm, not on things that are... For example...
So this is the point. I wanted to get into there exactly. So even if we have disagreements, it is not on the fundamental issues.
No, no, fundamental.
Yes, that's very true. So before we continue, let's go for a short break and listen to something, and then we'll be back. In today's episode, we actually are talking about religion and how it differs from different cultures, different perspectives. We actually went through some interesting points.
I just wanted to elaborate on the words of my brother. And the fact is that a lot of factors play in the role of understanding religion. Because religious texts are a bridge, a path that we use to reach reality. And when the goal is to reach reality. The texts are mere bridges, mere paths. Understanding the paths, as I stated, and I defend it, that there are ways to understand it 100% completely correct.
Yeah, for those who want to understand.
There's no difference in it. There's not going
to
be any problems with that. The thing is that when we want to reach reality, various factors play. One of the things that he stated was worldwide view. Allama Tabatabai, in his Tafsir al-Mizan, has a very nice talk about whether we cannot reach reality, let's put it out like reality, unless that we have cleansed ourselves. Why? Because if you have not cleansed yourself, you still have that desire.
Yeah.
You're going into the worldly matters. What brings the maslaha to me?
That
what
would
brings
deviate
the good to me?
You.
What is more important to me? I hate this person, so I want to make the reality my reality. I want to change the reality. This plays a role in understanding the text. Because, for example, when I see a saying that says, إِنَّمَا وَلِيُّكُمُ اللَّهُ وَرَسُولُهُ, those who give the charity and alms while doing ruku'ah, another person will come and see it as well and read the text. The text is clear, but the thing is that this person does not believe that who is the true successor, and I believe who the true successor is. It will play a role in understanding the verse. It will play a role in interpreting the Qur'an and what the Qur'an is trying to talk about reality, because words are mere tools to reach reality. So this really plays a role. Another thing that I want to add that's very important, very quick, is that especially during divine texts, especially the Shia school of thought, the Shia heritage, we have this concept of ikhtilaf al-hadith, which is verily studied. Why did the Imam alayhi salam give different answers to different questions? And what I just said, this sentence by itself needs like an entire book just to talk
exactly.
about.
Exactly, yes.
And that's why we finished time and I borrowed a minute from my brother. I'm very sorry.
Let's talk about Hablul Mateen and Darwatul Wuthqa. These expressions, first define them, give the equivalent for them, and they symbolize what exactly?
A very literal translation of Hablul Mateen is that firm, strong rope.
Yeah.
Darwatul Wuthqa, this firm hold that is of one particular reality that is higher up. But that high up reality gives something down that us individuals here in this full of multiplicity of different polarities are able to hang on to. So what it basically means, this particular concept can be used in very different facets of human life. For example, if you want to use it on a social factor, especially between the unity of Muslims, it is a thing, okay, there are certain things that we as Muslims agree on. We believe that the Quran, the noble Quran, the glorious Quran, is the divine book sent to us by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
So this is the strong rope.
So one of the strong ones is that. Another one is the Holy Prophet himself.
Yeah.
Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Other one are the certain practices that we do. Hajj, Shah Ramadan, the Salah, and all the other practices that we have. If you want to go further out, you say, okay, there are certain individuals who are religious. And they have certain things that we can also, and obviously you can go out from pure religion to people who are humankind.
Yeah, yeah.
That's so that at least you can live a life, you know, that is worthy for you and worthy for the other person. A life in harmony, in peace, in tranquility.
Yeah. So this was all for today's episode. Thank you for staying with us until another session. I bid you farewell. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Ya Allah, Ya Rabb al Alameen, Ya Rahman, Ya Rahim. ربي لدي أمة رايزك
يا الله
يا رب العالمين يا رحمن يا رحيم يا ربي لدي أمة رايزك لتصي دليلتك once again.